Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
And very pleased now to be joined by the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Phillies, getting ready for Game 7, Scott Fransky. Scott, thanks. Welcome back.
Hey, good to talk with you.
All right.
We're still going.
Yeah, it's still going, and let's see if it's get one tonight and see keep going on Friday.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So let's virtually all hands are on deck. I can't imagine Aaron Nola's available tonight. But if they were to need an inning or a couple of batters out of Zach Wheeler, the way Texas used Jordan Montgomery last night, is that door open, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's wide open. Absolutely. I think Wheeler would relish it. I think the Phillies have that firm, that they'd be willing to do that. Again, it's a little different than, say, when they did it with the Ranger last year in the playoffs. They kind of flirted with it this year as well, but I just think you have to. The Phillies know that Zach Wheeler is their best pitcher, so he's going to have to. If they've got outs to take down in a close game or whatever, I got to believe he's going to try to take some of them down.
How have you felt about Ranger the way he has pitched the last 3 weeks?
He's been great. He's really good. He's pitched real deep into games, I guess, and that's not really necessarily his fault. The Phillies have kind of by design gone away from him a couple times. I know in Atlanta that was the case. His first start, he was kind of cut short. That was kind of their plan to go to the bullpen. But I think they feel like he's, as they said yesterday, the right guy, the right time. He's kind of made for this type of situation. They know that the moment is not going to get him. The intensity of it, the sort of extreme pressure of it, that's not going to be what gets him. If he doesn't have feel for a pitch or whatever, that's a different story, but it's not going to be the moment that rattles Ranger Suarez.
Brandon Pfaff went out and was outstanding in his start. When you looked at him, what made him a tough pitcher?
For one, I don't think they saw him real well, and whether that was, getting adjusted to the dome, the lighting in there wasn't great. A lot of the guys were kind of, it wasn't like a sour grapes, but they're like, these domes, you come to these domes, you just don't see as well. That's just a matter of fact. But I will say, I look back through his start a little bit today and kind of watch some of the pitch sequencing and stuff like that again. And, he was down with a lot of stuff. He used that sweeper of his down below the zone. He had really good command of it, good location. His fastball, he used it up above the hands, and guys couldn't lay off. And again, not having seen him before, he's able to get away with that at 93, 94. Maybe this time will be different. I don't know. But, the Phillies would definitely need to try to stay off of that fastball that rides up out of the zone. And, they got to get him in the zone because, you go back and what little success they had against him was generally on pitches that were up and up in the strike zone. So, all in all, I think you go back and you look at it, you kind of tip your cap to him because I think he pitched a pretty good game. But, we'll see if they have a better approach against him the second time around.
Exactly. In the first two games in Philadelphia, Corbin Carroll got on base. He had a broken bat single. And then in game two, he led off, and Trey made the error at short. Here's a guy that stole 54 bases. He didn't go either time. Last night, they ran. Now, they probably have more opportunity, but they ran. What's the thought process in watching the aggressiveness with which Arizona played with last night compared to what we saw in games one and two?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't think they were all that much more. I know they ended up with whatever three more stolen bases, but two of them were stolen blind off of Ryan Kirkering,
right?
And the other one was a first and third that they were totally willing to give up. They let Christian Walker steal second because they were more worried about the batter and getting out of that inning with two outs. So, again, I think the pitchers, the Phillies in general have done a really good job of mixing up looks, mixing up times, whether it's slide step, throwing over, you know, a little bit longer hold, things like that. I think they've done a pretty good job of sort of, you know, mitigating the run game of the Diamondbacks. I still don't feel like the Diamondbacks have been able to sort of play their game the way they totally want to play it. Now, last night, you know, again, the Phillies scored one run. The bigger issue here is the way the offense has gone the last four games. To me, that's the central issue. And, I mean, Schwarber's hit a lot of home runs, but they're all solos. Nobody's on base for him. You know, Castellanos hasn't had a hit since his first at-bat of the series. You know, seven and, of course, nine with Rojas, they've done virtually nothing the entire series. And that's tough to overcome, especially when you're trying to have somebody on base for those big guys at the top, like Schwarber, Turner, Harper, who have, you know, no doubt held their own at times. But I think the biggest issue is whether the offense can get something going tonight against the Diamondbacks. Because I think if they do, if they get some, you know, points on the board early, as they say, I think it could really go their way.
I know in Penn State basketball, Dick Girardi, who goes with the Daily News for years, Dick and I always say, hey, look, play with the lead. How important would it be for the Phillies with that crowd to play with the lead?
Yeah, I think it's always important. And I think we've seen in throughout the postseason, you know, the team that scores first generally is the one that goes on to win it. I think that says a lot about the way the game is managed these days. I think it says a lot about the way bullpens are used these days. And, you know, you're never going to get a third and a fourth look at a starting pitcher. So you can't make the adjustment. You've got a new arm to face. And I think that's what they talk about nowadays in the game of baseball when playing with the lead. And I think it allows you to play a little looser. You know, this is one of those things where it's really important that if you do get behind early, that you don't panic. And Rob Thompson has told a story to us numerous times about a wild card game they had. I think it was against the Twins, and I'm not sure what year it was, when he was back bench coach for New York. And he said, hey, he said, when they hit a home run in the first inning, I believe it was trying to think who it was. Dozier, maybe Brian Dozier. He said, when Brian Dozier hits a home run in the first inning, nobody panic. Nobody panic. Right. And sure enough, he hit a home run in the first inning. They're down right away. They end up coming back to win the game. So I think that's a big message is that, hey, look, you get down early, play your game, have your good at-bats, don't press, don't try to do too much, be who you are, and you guys, you know, you can get back in it and reclaim the lead.
Yeah, it was Brian Dozier, in fact. He has used his relievers instead of, hey, it's Mariano Rivera, it's the ninth inning, he's got the ball, that's it, maybe we'll go five outs, whatever. He's used his relievers in high-leverage situations. What's your thought on that? Because, you know, obviously, it's been working. But what's your thought on that, that saying, hey, look, this is the moment, so this is where I actually need my guy?
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I believe that – now, again, you know, leverage situation, you know, tonight might come in the fourth inning.
Right.
So, or the second, quite frankly. I mean, you just don't have much runway left, right? So I'm of the mind that, especially in today's game, if you have to get their best hitters, you need to throw your best pitcher. And, you know, by and large for the Phillies, and especially against Arizona, that means Jose Alvarado against the top of their order. Doesn't matter if the guy's left-handed or right-hander. Those are the best hitters that the Diamondbacks have, and those are the guys that Alvarado's got to get. Now, that means somebody else has to get the other righties, who still are dangerous lower in the order. But, again, I think it's the right way for this bullpen to be managed, and that is, hey, I got a situation developing here in this inning, in this spot, that could totally change the game. I need my best guy on the hill. And generally that's Alvarado.
And does that then go back to my original question about, is that guy actually tonight early Zach Wheeler?
Yeah, it might be. It could very well be. Now, I highly doubt you're going to see Wheeler come into a game with traffic on the bases.
Right.
Yeah. I think what they do is they use somebody like Hoffman to kill the inning, you know, Dominguez to kill the inning if they can, and then go to Wheeler for, you know, a clean inning, a clean couple of innings, or a one, maybe even just a one plus, or whatever the case might be. You know, he says he throws anywhere between 15 and 40 pitches on his side day, and I know Zach is a guy who likes to keep his arm moving every single day. He's told me before, because I go out and I throw every single day. Now, it's not always full speed ahead or anything like that, but he is going to get his arm, you know, as he likes to say, kind of get the blood going. So he'll be ready to go. This would be his work day anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, you could get 40 pitches, couple innings, right? Maybe even into a two plus. I don't know. But again, they don't want to do anything to put Zach or the club in jeopardy moving forward. But, you know, there is no, you know, there's no tomorrow if you lose tonight. So you got to play your best guys.
And just one more about that. How long does it take him usually for a start to warm up? Because, I mean, pitching in relief is a little different ballgame.
Yeah, and I don't know what he'll do in terms of changing his routine. He obviously, you know, the starter will go out there and he'll do certain things to, you know, play long toss and these other things to get ready. They have a pretty, you know, set routine. But now he's going to have his set routine that he does to throw a bullpen midweek, right, in between starts. I would assume it would be something similar to that, right? And he's not going to get fired up and hot and ready in 8 or 9 pitches. That won't happen. And that's why it's more probable that he comes in with a clean inning rather than trying to kill an inning with runners on.
So it's a game 7, all right?
So
what's it like for you?
You're totally on edge, I'll be honest with you. I've not done game 7. I've done a winner-take-all before in 2011, Halliday-Carpenter matchup. It's cool. I'm getting a lot of texts from friends and, you know, faraway places, and a lot of them happen to be in Texas, which is my hometown. That's where I grew up, and that was the first team I worked for. So they're wondering if I'll be there on Friday night or not. So, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a fun experience, and it's been a great run, been a great ride for the team, and we certainly hope it continues.
Well, hopefully you're there in Arlington on Friday. That'd be great.
That'd be great. So. Yep.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Scott. Really appreciate it on game day you took time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you again soon.